Hey, this is the Fiction Old and New Book Group, and today is Friday, April 5th, 2024. We are thrilled and extremely happy to welcome author Tracy Lang, who wrote two terrific books that we all read. In January, we read her first novel, We Are the Brennans, and tonight we read her second novel, The Connollys of County Down. And we also want to very much thank Jana, because Jana was the group member who introduced us all to Tracy's work. She was our guest host in January, and we all fell in love with her writing, so much so that we decided to read her second book. And it's been really, it's been, and we're all anxiously awaiting, we hope, her third and fourth and fifth and on book. So we're happy to
Yeah.
have fan
Good.
club
I'm
here.
glad somebody is. That's great.
So, what I usually do is I share a little information about the author. Of course, we don't usually have the author with us, so but I'll do that anyway. And then, what I'm going to do is so basically, I'm going to ask Tracy a couple of questions just to get the discussion started, and then I'll call in everybody one by one. If you prefer just to listen and you don't want to talk, then just keep yourself muted. And also, if you happen to be in a place that's noisy, I know sometimes people are, keep yourself muted. And at the end, I will ask if anybody's in a place that's noisy and has kept themselves muted, if they want to unmute, and then I'll call on them. And otherwise, I'm really hoping that everybody will have some good comments and questions because I don't want to do all the talking. So let me give you some information about Tracy. So Tracy was born and raised in New York City. And I'm going to stop right here and ask you, because I lived in New York City for 30 years. What part of New York City did you live in? And I'm just curious.
I
Tracy.
was actually born in the Bronx, but when I was very young, my parents got the opportunity to become superintendents for a building on the Upper East Side. So that's really where I grew up, is in the 70s, over between York and First Avenue, to be
Oh,
specific.
wow. Okay. I lived not too far away, actually, from where you live. So,
Oh,
neighborhood to me, but that's great.
wow. Yeah.
So, you graduated, Tracy graduated from the University of New Mexico with a degree in psychology. And she and her husband operated a behavioral health care facility for 15 years. Her first novel, well, then she completed the Stanford University online writing program. And when she was writing her first novel, We Are the Brennans. And then her second novel, which we read for this month, is The Connollys of County Down. And we can all discuss next month which book we liked better, because I know some people liked one better and some liked the other better, but everybody liked, so we can have that good debate. And it was published in 2023. And Publishers Weekly said that the author's conjures human moments with a convincing naturalistic style. The emotionally charged story delivers the goods, which is a very nice review. And she lives in Bend, Oregon, with her husband and her two sons and her German Shepherd. And Bend, Oregon seems like such a fascinating place to me, because they had a documentary about the last Blockbuster in America that was in Bend, Oregon.
That's
I don't, is it still there?
right.
Is it still in Bend, or?
It is still here.
Yeah. It's so interesting. It was a really great documentary, and it looked like such a nice town, from the descriptions and everything. It seemed really lovely. So I don't know. It seems like a great place to live. So I thought I'd start out by asking, so all of us in this group are either blind or visually impaired, and most, maybe all of us listen to your book as audiobooks. Maybe some of us read it in Braille, but I think pretty much everybody listened as an audiobook. And I'm just wondering, have you heard any part of either audiobook, or did you have any role at all in the production of either audiobook?
You know, my publisher kindly sent a couple of different options when they were deciding who would narrate Brennan's, and they did want my feedback, which is very nice, you know. And as soon as I heard Barry Krynick, I thought, wow, she's perfect. And they agreed. So it really was their find and their decision, but they're like, they do this really with everything. They're kind enough to ask for my input and let me be part of that. So, and to be perfectly honest, I've only heard a little bit. I have yet to go back and read or listen to either book. It's a hard thing to do. I know I will at some point, but no, I haven't yet.
Yeah, I would think you might be tempted, like, to say, oh, I should have changed that word in that sentence or something like that.
Yes, that's exactly
Yeah.
it. There are still parts of each. I'm proud of them, but you know, as a person who put them together, there are parts to each book that I still think of. Oh, you could have done that better. Or so, yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm still. It's a little soon. Before too long, though, I'm sure I will go back through it. But I do think she's fantastic narrator.
I love her as a
Yeah,
narrator.
yeah.
She's one of my favorites. So that was like an extra treat for me, besides reading your wonderful books, to have her narrate them. So that was
Yeah, she's
great.
wonderful. She
She
can do all
really
the
is.
accents, all of them.
Yes, exactly. I was particularly fascinated by the program that you attended from Stanford University, the online writing program. And I wondered if you could tell us, did you work one-on-one with a teacher? Did you meet with a group of students together? Like, what was that process like when you went to that program?
You know, when I jumped into writing novels, I quickly learned that I had so much to learn. And so I started looking for, initially, I was looking for MFA programs because I kind of figured that's what my options were. But in that research, I came across the Stanford Online no Novel Writing Program, which was perfect for me because it was remote, it was all online, and it was part-time. So if, you know, we had kids and other things going on. So, but it was wonderful. So I did at the end have one class was one-on-one with an instructor who read your entire manuscript and really tried to help you make improvements and take it to the next level, which she did. The bulk of the program, though, was kind of a combination of weekly lectures that you read, you know, online and some Zoom sessions and kind of Canvas discussions, online discussions, and just workshopping material with each other. So you really, I just learned so much about writing and about myself as a writer. And it's where I found my writer's group, which I still work with. You know, it's been several years now, 5, 6 years, and we're all still in touch and help each other. We meet pretty regularly, so. It was a really important part of my process, and I had the opportunity to get a lot of good feedback for my first book, We Are the Brennans.
Yeah, I actually love listening to interviews with authors. I'm kind of obsessed with it. And
Yeah.
more and more I hear how important it is to be part of a writing group. And I think it's probably just a wonderful way to get feedback and support and just keep yourself going and get over the rough spots. And it seems really wonderful. And it seems like a lot of people meet their writing groups in writing programs, which is really great too. So that's very nice to hear that you're part of a writing program, a writing group.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it there I don't know how people do it. It's such a solitary job endeavor here. I'm in my office right now. It's where I spend a bulk of my time, usually alone. But those people are so important. And once you kind of get in a groove and you get to know each other so well, I can submit a chapter and say, okay, something's not working and I can't quite figure it out. And they really can usually help me pinpoint. And so, yeah, it's important for the feedback, for the support, and for the accountability, because there are times where, you know, we all go wherever your job is, you get into that self-doubt mode at times. And it's tempting to maybe find a way to procrastinate, but you think, okay, well, I have my writer's group, I got to get this done. And so it really keeps me going for sure.
That's really interesting. So I thought I would ask you one question about each book, and then I'll
Sure.
turn it over to the rest of the group. So, okay. Now, when I read books, it is very rare that I ever see anything of my own life reflected in a novel. It's very rare. And when it happens, it's wonderful and it's startling and it's terrific. And I was so struck by in We Are the Brennans about the sibling, how the siblings all helped and cared for Shane. I loved it. And I also come from a family of four. My sister has autism, she's the youngest, she had developmental delays. She didn't talk till she was five. And my sister's 55 years old now. And myself and my two brothers all help my sister to this day in different ways. And I was racking my brains. I had never seen this before. I mean, I've seen it in nonfiction, but I've never seen, I've seen stories, of course, where parents help and grandparents help and whatever. But three siblings helping another sibling, I was just mesmerized by this. I said, "Oh my God!" And I just wondered, was this an imagination? Did this come from something that you witnessed? Like, how did you find this part of the story?
Thank you so much. That's so nice to hear, especially given your own experience. It was a combination. So my husband and I had our behavioral health care company, and one of the lines of service that we offered were various service for people struggling with developmental disabilities and intellectual disabilities and all kind. And so I did not myself, I was not certified in that. I didn't do a lot of that direct work, but I worked with staff who did, and they were some of the most interesting families and supportive families. And I just got to know some of them, the way they sort of all rallied around. And I know that's not always the case, but I saw a lot of that, and I always remembered it. Family members kind of rallying around that the person who needed a little extra help. And so I think that was just kind of in my somewhere in my thoughts always. And so when I created Shane and this family dynamic, that just felt sort of natural to me. And I was looking for, there's a lot there's a lot going on in the Brennan family and a lot of secrets, and there's a lot of flaws there, a lot of things you could point to and say, you guys probably could do a better job. But I wanted them to sort of have this grounding force, I guess. And I think Shane is one of those grounding forces for them. Despite all the drama and kind of bad decisions, there's a lot of really good intentions, and I think he served to often help bring them all back to center at times, if that makes sense. So it was a combination of my own, imagination, but certainly being around those families and the staff that worked with them as well.
It was just amazing to me to read this. It really was. So I
Wow,
recently
thank you.
Thank you. I recently finished your second novel. I have a lot of questions, so I spent some time trying to figure out which questions to ask. I actually thought was kind of curious about Geraldine. She, I found her fascinating. I don't really understand hoarding very well. I'm not one of these people that watches shows about hoarding, but I know it seems to be a lot about control. And her life was really spinning out of control with her job. And I don't know. I wondered if you could just talk about her a little bit, because I found her. I would like to go back and read the book and like really focus on her a little bit. And
Poor Geraldine.
yeah, exactly. But maybe you could say like just a word or two about her.
Sure. Yeah. There again, I have to say my previous experience came into play. I definitely worked with some of those families, people that struggled with hoarding. I was in some of those homes, and it's often misunderstood, which is I thought one of the one of the reasons I kind of wanted to bring it into the story. But yeah, for Geraldine, it's very much about being afraid of making mistakes, and like you said, the control issue. And so I really created Tara first, and then to some degree, all the her family members were kind of a response to her. But when it came to Geraldine, as the oldest and really as the person who at such a young age had this incredible responsibility thrust upon her, watching out for her younger siblings, that's where I thought, you know, I knew she'd be kind of a control freak. And when I was just thinking about how that would manifest itself, that's where I decided to bring in the hoarding, because it felt like it fit with the issues that she was struggling with, and the way she was so afraid to make mistakes.
Yeah. I found her just absolutely fascinating. I don't know. She was a great character.
I will tell you, I get a lot of remarks about, and most people say, you know, I don't know that I like her or want to hang out with her, but they came, hopefully most people came to at least some degree appreciate, you know, what shaped her too. Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly really felt for her. I was so sad and so frightened for her. But I imagine a lot of people would be, you know, a little bit turned off by her because she's not the easiest character to like.
No.
I don't know that for her, but I felt for her. So.
Yeah. I think I try to, you know, we're all such a mixed bag, all our strengths and flaws, and you know, and so I really like to try to dive into that, and with Brennan's as well. I have had a lot of people talk about the mom, Maura, and I certainly understand people having a strong reaction to her, but there again, the hope is just maybe, you know, creating a little bit of empathy by understanding what made her the way she was as well. So
yeah. That's true. Okay, so I thought, of course, I'm going to start with you, Jana, because you were the person who introduced us all to Tracy's work. So would you like to ask a question or make a comment about either novel or both novels?
Oh, you better believe it. And thank you for asking me first. So this is probably the best thing I've done all year was to ask the book group to read the first book, We Are the Brennans. But I have a couple of comments and a question. So one comment was, I love the way that you used, that you made Connor contribute to the family by telling all those crazy jokes. That was so funny. That just made me laugh out loud sometimes at some of the most inconvenient times for others, but that made it even more fun. So that was a wonderful technique. It really added something to the book. But also, not only am I blind, but I work with blind people. I teach Braille, and a lot of the people that I work with have multiple disabilities. So I have worked with all kinds of disabilities, and I love the way that you portrayed the disabled people in your books, both Shane and Eddie. They had some limitations and needed help sometimes, but they both had jobs, and they were real contributors to their families. And I think that just busted a lot of myths about people with those particular disabilities. And I think that the general public needs to see more of that. So I guess I just want to say thank you for doing that. And that just, that added even more to those books.
Thank
so
you.
I really appreciated those, the portrayal of those particular people. They were
you.
Just real people. And
yeah,
I just,
thank
I
you so
loved
much
it.
For that. I appreciate that. And of course, I mean, we all have our struggles. So yeah, I'm glad that they felt really authentic to you. And yeah,
and I just, I love their characters. They were just such great people. And I don't know how much you can say about this, but my question is there going to be a third book?
There is. And I'm working on number four now, so hopefully they'll let me keep going. The third one is out in January. So it's a little ways off, but it is, it's all finished, and we even decided on a cover lately. So all of that good stuff. So number three is coming, and my plan is to keep going as long as they'll let me.
Okay. There was one right answer to that question, and you just gave it.
Well, thank you so
Thanks.
much. That's I really appreciate your specific mention of Connor's jokes, because those were that was just fun to put in there, and I kind of felt like they needed those moments of levity. So
Yeah, it was great. A great touch. So
good,
that's
thank
about
you.
all I have to say. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Where did you find Connor's jokes from? Were they jokes that like because I loved them. I couldn't decide which one was my favorite, and I wondered, were you scouring the internet for them, or how
You
did you
know,
find?
I'm pretty sure I got one of them on the internet. If I had a couple just because I had two boys. So I thought back to some of those silly, jokes they used to tell. And then I did have a I have fr a friend who's an elementary school teacher, and she gave me one. And then I do remember I was trying to find the joke that he throws out there when the when Brian, the detective, comes to dinner. I wanted to try, I was sp looking for a specific silly joke that would apply to police. And so that one I had to do a little looking online for. I don't know if anybody remembers that specific one, but anyway,
And
that's
about the toilets, yeah.
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, God, if I could just find one really, really relevant. And so it sure enough, I found one. So it was a mix.
Yeah, they were just wonderful. So, Sherry and I were actually talking on the phone about your books yesterday, and Sherry had some good questions, so I'm going to call on her next. So
Okay.
Well, thank you. I'll try to be quick because there's a lot of people here. I was also going to say that I love the dumb jokes. I shared them with my 7-year-old nephew, a couple of them, and he loved them too. I
Well,
also love the
that's
way.
the biggest test. So there you
Yeah,
go.
absolutely. I love the way that you do each chapter with a different character's perspective. That just makes it so interesting, and you get to know the characters so much more than just a narrative about them when you're hearing it from their perspective. And I really like that technique. My one question is, well, I have two questions. I'll make it quick. You're a psychology major. Have you always wanted to be an author, or was that a career change for you?
You know, I've always been a huge reader, I mean, since I was really young, and I've lo always loved to write. My favorite college classes were creative writing, but at the time it seemed so insurmountable, the idea of actually writing a book and getting it published. I don't even know that I rejected the idea because I never thought it was possible. And I was fascinated by psychology and the study of human nature, and so I went in that direction. And in that field, there's a lot of writing. Of course, it's not fictional, and but I think all of that sort of helped. Hone my skills a little bit. And then when I did get the opportunity, we made a big move as a family, moved to Oregon from Idaho, and we're kind of I had the opportunity and time to start, and I thought, okay, this is my shot. If I'm gonna start writing and really try to do this, that was the time. That was about 8 or 9 years ago now, I guess. So it was a career change, something that I've always loved to do, but I finally felt like, okay, maybe I have something to say now.
That's great. Well, we're glad you changed careers. My other
Thank
question
you.
is, the plot is so intricate. When you started this book, did you know where it was going to go? Did you, I'm just interested in the technique. Did you have an outline? Did you kind of know what the characters were going to be, or did it come as you were writing?
It's a little bit of a combination for me. Honestly, so far, my books start with some very basic idea that for we the Brennans, it was the idea that, a really close family, but someone essentially leaves for a while and is fairly absent and comes back. Like it was so vague. And then I land on characters and I spend a long time getting to know my characters. And I might even be working on the previous project while they're sort of taking shape in my mind. And the better I get to know them, the more I feel ready, okay, to actually start writing. I'm not a big outliner. I usually go into that first draft knowing a few plot points, as far as like, okay, it'd be interesting if A, B, or C happened. And I never know the ending of the book when I start that first draft. And then as I go, I've said this before. I think it was E.L. Doctorow that said, it's a little bit like driving at night with the headlights on. I know where I am right now, And I can see a little bit ahead, like the next chapter or two, but beyond that, it's pretty dark. That's kind of what my first draft process is like. And then, of course, I learned so much during that first draft and just go back through. And it's hard to say how many drafts each book has gone through, several, but that's kind of my process, that first draft.
Oh, that's really interesting. Thank you so much. I could ask a million more questions, but I'll stop now.
Sure. Thank you.
Joni, would you like to make a comment or ask a question?
I'd like to make a comment. Tracy, I just loved the two books. And your second book, pardon me, The Connollys of County Down. I just particularly loved that book. It was something so I can't think, but I loved it. And one of the things that you did was you had the people going to Brennan's. And I just thought that was, I love when authors do that. And when you did that, I just thought that was fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm looking forward to your next books. And I guess that's all I have to say, except that, again, I want to repeat how good your books were. Oh, yeah. Well, Tara and the Prison Life, how did you research that?
You know, that, again, a little bit of experience. We did work with both juveniles and adults that came out of, you know, detention centers or prisons and were adjusting to life back home. So I saw a little bit of that in my previous work. And then, honestly, I did just seek out mostly online various articles about women in particular coming out of prison and the challenges they faced. So it was kind of a combination of experience and research. So I could kind of really nail what all that the obstacles that were coming her way.
Well, thank you so much, Tracy, and just keep writing, and I'll keep reading your books.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I like the, I'm so glad you appreciated the mention of Brennan's in the second book. I have to give credit where it's due. That was my husband's idea. He is kind enough to kind of be an editor at times for me. And I had him reading that book. And when they got to that scene, he said, well, why don't you have them go to Brennan's for dinner? And I was like, oh my God, that's a great idea. So I did that. And actually in my third, I loved it so much myself that in the third book, I made references to both the first two books. So it's something I hope to keep doing because it's fun, but also I think it's says something about how small the world can be sometimes. So anyway, I'm glad you appreciated it.
Thank you.
Yes, that was really, that was a lot of fun when we all came upon that mention. We're like, oh my God, it's, we know that from the first book. So that was great. Sally, would you like to ask a question or make a comment?
Oh, okay. Tracy, thank you for coming. I have a comment. In both books, characters assumed roles as children and young adults that they never should have had to assume. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until they became adults that the repercussions hit them. But you didn't make them victims. They did have to take some responsibility. I mean, Tara could not go back to teaching. Brian probably was not going to go back to be a policeman. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have them ride off into the sunset. They had to be responsible. And it just shows the life is messy.
Yes.
Some choices you make, some choices you can't make.
Yes.
And yeah, and I appreciate that. I did have a question about Geraldine. When she went to see her therapist had her make a list of things that she had to give up when she was a teenager caring for her brother and sister. And those were intangible things like the drama club, you know, other after school activities, and just being a teenager. So when she became an adult and started to hoard, those things that she were hoarding, that she was hoarding, were really tangible. Those were the things that she couldn't give up as an adult. Did they reflect the things that she, the intangible things that she couldn't have as a child?
I think to some degree, I think so. Yeah, there's just a void, you know, and she had never looked at it before. And then there's a shame that comes sometimes with hoarding. And so I think that this was just a safe place for her to go. And, again, that fear of making a mistake that's always been with her. But yeah, I think it's a way of filling a void often. And she, you know, she definitely had a big void. She gave up so much, and what didn't even really recognize it herself. Couldn't even really give herself that acknowledgement. So yeah, I definitely think that played into what she had to give up so long ago.
Okay. Well, thank you, and I'm looking forward to book 3, 4, 5 and on and on.
Well, and thank you for your comment about kind of the messy endings. You know, reading's so subjective, and I have had people mention, I kind of wanted a little more tied up, especially with the first book, or sometimes even with the second book, I want to know they're going to be okay. But you know, I guess I try to keep it real life, you know, like it is messy, and you're right. There's definitely repercussions to all our choices. And so it's never, no one's ever going to ride off in the sunset, like you said.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Linda, would you like to make a comment or ask a question?
Yes. How do you come up with the ideas, like when you first start? Do you talk to people and they give you suggestions for ideas, or how do you come up with these ideas? But before you answer that, I just want to say I really enjoyed both books. And I can't wait for the third one. It can't come out quickly enough.
Thank you so much. You know, that is such a hard, I feel like everything, all the ideas come from either something in my own path. It's a combination. It's stuff I come from a big Irish Catholic family, for instance, or stuff that I'm processing, whether it's about my own life or what's going on in the world around us. But ultimately, I the nearest I can get to say, oh, this is really where an idea sparks, is just kind of an interaction. You know, with this third book that'll be out in January, it all started with wanting to look at divorce. My own parents divorced when I was in middle school. It was always kind of the back of my mind. And you know, most people have been impacted in some way by divorce. And so it just sort of starts there with some kind of a vague idea of this could be really interesting to explore. And then from there, and I get some of those ideas and reject them and never think about them again. But if I begin to think about characters in that situation, that's usually where it starts to stay with me. And yeah, and then that's why I spent a long time just thinking about the characters and who would be involved here and how would be the best way to explore this whole idea. So that's not a clear-cut answer, but I think it's just kind of a combination of experience and what's going on in the world, and then settling on something that that just feels like it's worth really diving into for me.
Okay, Shelley, would you like to make a comment or ask a question?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Tracy, I want to first of all, thank you for coming to our meeting tonight. This is awesome that an author that you read is here. And I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed both books. I actually can't tell you which one I like better just because they were so good. My comments first, I thought Tara was a very strong character. She, you know, was going to jail for Eddie. That's just, you know, something that you wouldn't see. You know, I know Eddie had the brain injury, but for a sister to do that, that's just, she was just awesome. I really, she was one of my favorite characters in that book. And so was Connor. I liked the jokes as everybody else. I thought that was amazing how Brian, the cop, gave Tara the money because he knew when she was going to jail that she didn't actually do it. He didn't know who did it, but he wanted to see her, you know, not go to jail. But I'll be honest with you, I think at the end I made my own conclusion. I know you kind of leave the books open, and I think that's good because we can form our own opinions. And I'm one of those, I think Brian and Tara in my mind would be together. And I also loved that Eddie had Lorraine at his job telling him to go for the higher up job. I know he had a lot of trouble with the brain injury, not being able to think or do things right. And she was just an amazing character in herself, because you don't see many people now who are wanting to help disabled people like that. You know, I've been totally blind all my life. My family has been very, very supportive. But to read a book like this and see it, I'm really happy that you have actually put in some disabled, not happy about it, but I think it's a nice gesture to have put some situations with people with disabilities and show how well they can actually do, because we can if given the chance. And for both Shane and Eddie to have a job and to be successful, that was just the icing on the cake, in my opinion. That was amazing. But all I can say is just both books are more than I can ever say. I'm looking forward to number three. Now, my question is, how, since you already have number three out, how long does it take you to write a book?
Each time it's gotten a little bit less. You learn as you go. Brennan's took about 2.5 years, but that included a couple of significant breaks where I sort of needed to just step back, and I got to a point where it's like, I'm not sure, I know this isn't ready yet, but I'm not sure what I need to do. So I would kind of take a step back.
Right.
But then Connelly's it was about 1.5 years.
Because
that first book helps. You go into the second one already knowing some questions you need to ask yourself before you start.
Yeah.
And then the third book, same thing. The third book went even a little bit faster.
I'll really be quick, but I have a couple more questions real quick.
Yeah, that's fine. No problem.
Since you, this is like a human, your subject that you write about would be more human relations, right?
Yes. Sure.
So let me put it this way, which authors influence you? Because you've got to have some that you like to read, you know, that helped you find this genre. Because you could have wrote about mystery, you could have wrote romance, but you chose this is an amazing genre because you've got the secrets, you've got the mystery, you got it all.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's what interests me. That's what I like to read about for sure.
Right.
And I think that's what led to, you know, psychology and there are definitely authors along the way that have really resonated with me. One important book for me was I Know This Much Is True by Wally Lamb, if anyone's read that.
Yes.
I read that, boy, it's got to be at least 20, 25 years ago.
Never heard of that, but no, this is wonderful. And my last two questions are kind of combined. So your third and your fourth book, are they kind of along this line, like with more people with disabilities and things happening, family dynamics, secrets, all that kind of stuff?
They are.
They're a
little different location, but yeah, different issues. But yeah,
awesome.
They all have their struggles.
Not that I don't like people in struggles, but I love to just kind of read the book and have it unfold. I love trying to figure it all out and, you know, seeing what the secrets are going to be. And, you know, it's just such a great thing. And my last question is, are you having Barry Krynick do the last two?
You know, I hope so. I hope she's part of those books. I can't say for sure yet, but certainly if I had my way.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's really good. Very, very good narration.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But thank you. Thank you, Tracy. You've answered all my questions and you gave me some really good books to read. And I will be reading all
so
of your
much.
Other ones that come out. You're more than welcome.
I appreciate all your comments.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you
so much.
Well, so before we go on to the next person, you mentioned the Wally Lam book. Are there any other books that you would like to mention that you found influential, or that you think might be inspirational? Or,
well, if you're into, you know, the messy families with all sorts of issues, that's a great one. I think Anne Patchett does some great ones. One of my favorites of hers is The Dutch House.
Okay.
Gosh, sorry, did I talk over somebody there?
No.
Oh, okay.
She's very good.
Yeah, she's fantastic. And Joyce Carol Oates wrote a couple that really, We Were the Mulvaneys was a huge one for me. These tend to be a little bit older, but got, you know, anything that has to do with, I'm looking on my shelves here as I talk to you, more kind of Barbara Kingsolver is another favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. So anything that has to do with just people's strength and flaws and inner relationships and, you know, how we affect each other and the gray. I very much love exploring, you know, a few things in life are black and white. There's so much gray. And I think that's how we create empathy is by, if I always say if people read more, the world would be a better place.
Yeah, so, that's for sure. You're quite right. Well, those are great, great recommendations. You could spend your whole life reading Joyce Carol Oates because.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah. I mean, I only made a dent in that file, but she's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, she really is. Randy, would you like to ask a question or make a comment?
Tracy, both your books are just phenomenal, and like everybody else has said, I can't wait to read the next one. I have to say, one of my favorite scenes in Connelly's was the one when they did the intervention and they made Geraldine go to therapy, and I loved the scene of all of them with the therapist. It was so telling. And I've always been interested in family dynamics anyway. And I was a social worker for 18 years and always thought that I would be a family therapist if I ever went back and got a master's. And it was just, that scene was just, I love that. Is that something that you, did you, as part of your work, did you do family therapy?
I wasn't actually a family therapist, but it was more like I wasn't a licensed therapist, but we did a lot of kind of skill building with families. So, you know, there's a difference, but sometimes not so much, if that makes sense. So some of it came from that experience, but I appreciate that. She was a great addition. I kind of was getting to that point where I thought, you know, these guys need some outsider that's going to be able to sit down with them and help them figure some stuff out because they've been stuck in these patterns for so long. And so she just seemed like she fit the bill, that therapist, Judy. So thank you for that. I would guess it certainly came from experience. I needed someone else to, because they certainly weren't going to sit down and get at it themselves. So
right. That was probably my favorite scene in the whole book. There were so many good ones.
That's great. That's
but
great.
The therapy scenes were just, that was just great. I loved it.
So. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Do we have a title for the next one?
Oh, yes. We do. It's called What Happened to the McCrays?
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
And you said January is the publication
date?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, it's January,
Okay, so we're all going to go to our audiobook services and pre-order this.
Awesome. That's great. If you like it and you get in contact, I'll be happy to come back and talk about it. So, sure. Well,
that would be wonderful. Liz, would you like to make a comment or ask a question?
Actually, I don't have a comment. I just wanted to thank you for coming. It's always really interesting. And I did enjoy both books. But I have no comment or question. I mean, well, no question. I already gave you my
comments.
That's
okay.
But that's cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Marcia, would you like to make a comment or ask a question?
Yeah, well, thank you, Tracy, so much for being here. And Michelle, thank you for inviting her. This is wonderful. I also enjoyed both books. But I just want to say about the Connollys, it was so cool that Brian picked up Tara at the prison and then at the end picked her up in the county jail. I thought that was great. I don't know how you put that together, but that was wonderful. I also, Judy was fantastic. What a wonderful therapist she was. I've not ever gone through therapy, but if that ever should happen, I would hope to find someone like Judy.
Oh, good.
She
was loosely based on someone I knew, a therapist I knew a long time ago, just very sort of direct. And that's great that she, that you liked her that much.
Oh yeah, she was wonderful. And I'm going to make this quick. I missed the Brennan's reference in the second book. I don't know how that happened, but I did, unfortunately. But I also loved the Connor jokes. They were, I cracked up every time.
Good, that's what I was hoping for.
Well, everybody else has pretty much asked the same questions. But I just want to thank you for being here, and both books are wonderful.
Oh, and thank you so much.
Looking forward to the books in the future. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Alan, would you like to ask a question or make a comment?
Yeah, I'll just say thanks, Tracy. We all read a whole lot of books, and there's a lot of crap out there, but you are getting it right. And I want to thank you for, I know how hard it must be to write a novel like this, but keep on working hard at it, because you're focusing on the stuff that at least that's important to me, that I enjoy, and you're getting it right. And people have already commented about the jokes that they've enjoyed, that they enjoyed that part, which I did. And I like the fact that you mentioned the Brennans again, though. I meant the place again, but I did wonder. I expect you're too young to remember Flip Wilson and his Geraldine. That really goes back in time, but I didn't know if you might have gotten the name of the character from his Geraldine.
That's so interesting. I vaguely do remember Flip Wilson. I don't remember Geraldine, so no.
Yeah. but anyway, thanks for your hard work and for your great writing, and please keep it up. We will be reading your books into the future, I hope. So thank you.
Oh, thank you guys so much. I can't tell you how you obviously have such thoughtful readers, and I mean if there are more questions, please ask them. Thank you for your comments and your questions. I can tell people really took time and dove into these stories, which is such a thrill for me.
Yes, yes, definitely. We meet once a month and we discuss books in depth. Mm-hmm. We all have different perspectives, so it's always a lot of fun. And that is so interesting, Alan. I do remember, of course, Flip Wilson. And I did not put that together, so good for you that you came up with that one. That was great. Deanna, would you like to make a comment or ask a question?
Oh, I muted myself, I think, that time.
No, you're sure.
Okay, you. I had to unmute again because I muted myself. Well, I was going to say that Sally, who already asked her question, and I belong to a writer's group. We are a writer's group of people with disabilities. And We haven't been picked up by big publishers, but we've had a lot of fun. And
or even a small one.
Yep. So we're out there in the learning stages, and we would agree that our writing group improved the quality of the books we did bring out.
That's so wonderful. Good for you guys. That's great.
And
that's
so, great. Yes, I was going to say, have you read Kristen Hannah?
I have read some of her books, yes.
She does a good job of family dynamics as well. And that is a talent, to be able to make your characters so varied and individual, set on their own agendas, and then bring them together because they are family. And that's something I understand from being Native American. We count on our families, even if we get really angry at them times.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know that that's the one, you know, that if you ask, they will do their best to help.
Right.
You know, whatever that help is.
Right. And they're often the people that know you in a way that just other people can't. So,
yeah. And it is true that a strong family does treat their disabled members as a full member, because I was the big sister in my family. There were five of us. And my mother sometimes worked two and three jobs. And my children's book that came out last fall is about growing up Native American and how what we were taught and how, what we believed was so different from what our white schoolmates did and believed. And so it's really fun to watch how the different parts of a family pull together when it really counts.
And that's true. Whether it's any sort of disability, or it's a psychological diagnosis, or it's, you know, some sort of addiction, it could be all kinds of things, right? So sure. Yeah,
and many things can haunt you from childhood that you didn't really even realize that were there. It was one of the things that kept me from getting involved. I went to college in 1968. It was when I graduated from high school and went on to college with my first guide dog at my side. So my wolf sister kept me sane when I was so far from my family.
Wow, that's very brave.
It was awesome. Also, from the time I was little, my mother said, "Little girl, you can't wait tables, you can't pump gas, you can't get a job in the soap factory. You've got a mind and you've got good sense. You're going to have to use those to make your life." And she was pretty tough on me about school grades and stuff, which she wasn't on my siblings, because they could pump gas and work in the soap factory. So as long as they were good people, that was good enough. But I also had to be a smart one.
Right. She knew that you would need something different. Yeah.
Yeah. To carry me through.
And, right. That's wonderful.
That's, you know, some of that is what I really valued in what you wrote, is your family sees you in different ways than the outside world does.
Yeah. For better or worse.
Sometimes they're wrong and sometimes they're right, but they still love you anyway.
Yes. Yes, I think that's almost always the case. I know there are exceptions where families unfortunately can't get over whatever hump and they may not be in contact, but I think you're right in most cases.
Yeah.
They'll usually show up.
Yeah. My mother passed away last year, and as many of us came, even people that were only tangential to her life from all over the country because of who she was.
Right. Yeah, we all sort of crave that human connection.
No, thank you so much for writing good books.
Well, thank you so much for sharing some of your story.
Okay. Sister Dolores, would you like to ask a question or make a comment?
Oh, I'd love to. First of all, I love both the books. Absolutely love them. And I also appreciate the books that you have in your bookcase, because those are the books that I read. Okay. But what I want to say is a couple of things. The thing that made me so sad was all the time this Tara was in prison, nobody came to see her. That to me was devastating. In the fact that, I mean, I know they had a lot of horrible family dynamics, but not to go to see her at all. Mm-hmm. And she could come back. She had no place else to go. Where was she going to go? She had to come right. to a family. That really made me sad. Another thing, two other things really, about Geraldine. When you think of her rigidity, how she insisted that Connor go to mass, take a CCD. The kid wasn't the least bit interested in this stuff, and he had nobody to really say, you know, Connor, this is what most of us do. This is a good thing. You might get something out of it. He had nothing like that. And he was forced to go to mass. He was forced to go to CCD. The only thing the kid really loved was baseball. Right. And thank God that Eddie could take him to that. But there's one other thing. You know who impressed me was Geraldine's boss. The kindness of that man was incredible. He probably really in his heart knew that Geraldine was doing something wrong, but he never really accused her.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think somewhere inside he knew.
Really touched me a lot. And I want to tell you, I really enjoyed your books. They were really, I guess it was just what I needed to read. And thank you so much. And thank you for letting me join this group.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And you're right. I can't imagine how difficult that would be when your family doesn't visit or rarely visits. And, you know, the saddest part was that it was really their own fears and guilt that kept them away. It certainly wasn't because they didn't love Tara and miss her. But yeah, I and Geraldine's rigidity, you know, that's, I think, again, has to go to her fear of making mistakes. If I do everything just right, you know, then it'll be okay.
Thank you. I'm going to ask you one final question.
Sure.
So I'm just fascinated by how you write about adult sibling relationships, because there's so many books about children who are siblings, but I don't see that many books about adult siblings, particularly ones who live together. Yeah. And there are quite a few that, I mean, I don't know if it's always 3 and 4, but certainly I know quite a number of people who are sisters who live together. And it's very interesting because it's such a different relationship than when you were kids. You know, suddenly you're an adult and you could be very different people. You could be similar people. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'll ask you a two-part question. Do you have siblings? And also, where does this come from, this idea? Is it just from watching other siblings, or what is your fascination with that type of relationship?
You know, I think it's a couple things. I only have one sibling myself. I have one younger brother. But my dad was one of 15. He was from Ireland, and all of his brothers and sisters had at least 3, 4, 5 kids. And my mom was one of 4, and her sisters all had. So I did the math once, and I have something like, gosh, I think it's about 65 first cousins all told. And I spent a lot of time around family growing up, both in Ireland and in different parts of New York. And there was something about being part of that tribe that I loved so much. Even though in our house it was a smaller crew, I still felt like part of that, part of the clan. And just that idea that there were these people in the world that were my people to some degree, even if they lived thousands of miles away. So I know that all played into it, just the various relationships. And I was around other big families, again, with 3, 4, 5 kids, sometimes even a little bit more. So it was just always fascinating to me to see how they, every family kind of has its own story and its own code, how it operates, and, you know, for better or worse. And I just love digging into all of that. And it's something I've always kind of been fascinated, always loved to read about. And so when I started to write, I knew that's where I was going to focus.
I think it's wonderful because I've read a number of books where like family comes together for a summer somewhere, but not that many books where they actually live together. And it happens a lot more, I think, than people realize, you know, for a whole bunch of different reasons. And it's a very, I think it's sort of an underrated relationships that people don't explore as much as they should. It's an important relationship. There's a lot of parent-child, you know, relationship analysis, but not as much with siblings. So I loved it. I'm delighted that you're focusing on this, and it's absolutely fascinating. And I just, on behalf of everybody in our group, I have to thank you. You are such a nice woman, so delightful, so much to talk to. You're such a great writer, and we're really, really grateful that you decided to spend this time with us. And we're
thank you so much for having me. Again, this is such a great group. I love all the thoughtful questions and discussions. I mean, I learn as I talk about this, so I appreciate it really. And I'm, you know, if you like the third one, I'm happy to come back.
That'd be great.
But thank you so much, Tracy. Really, it's a thrill for us. We're all very big readers, and we love reading books.
I can tell. Yeah.
And you know, to have the chance to talk to someone like you. And again, I'm going to thank Jana, because Jana was the one who introduced us all to your writing.
Yes, thank you too, Jana.
You're very welcome.
And just thank you so much for coming. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. You guys have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Thanks again.
You too.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you everybody for asking such great questions, and you made my job very easy because I didn't have to do too much this time, which I really loved. So thank you.
Thank you for having her. That was fantastic.
Thanks a lot, Michelle.
Yeah, she was so great. I really, she seems like such a nice woman. You know, sometimes you pick a right, you know, whatever. She's great. I'll just mention the book for May. May. Oh wow, it's already almost May. I can't believe it. It has a short title. It's called Loot, LOOT. The author is Tanya, TANIA, James. The DB number is 115153. It is 8 hours, 45 minutes. It's listed as historical fiction. And I've heard a lot of good, I haven't read it yet, but I've heard a lot of good things about it. So hopefully you'll all enjoy it. And so I know we have a number of people here who facilitate book groups. We have Alan, and we have Joni, and we have Randy, and we have Liz and Shelley combination. And so if any of you want to mention the book for your group, please go ahead.
Novel ideas. We're discussing Inheritance by Nora Roberts, and that's 2 weeks from tonight at 8:00.
And my banquet is on the second Sunday of the month, the 14th of April. And I love my banquet. We have so many people that come in and seem to really enjoy it. And people keep coming back. And it's on I said the second Sunday, 5 o'clock Eastern. Now I'm in the Pacific time zone, so it's on 2 o'clock for me. But I welcome people that come into banquet. So thanks very much, Michelle.
Worlds of Books meets the third Tuesday of the month, and we're discussing the book, Have You Seen Louise Vallez? I believe that's the correct title. I don't remember the book number, but I'll be sending a newswire out. I'm traveling. I'll be back tomorrow night. I'll get everybody's newswires out. Randy, I've got yours. I'll send it out, and okay. I'll be sending yours out to Michelle, and I'll be sending mine out to you, which I should have done before I left. But anyway, that's that.
And then the one, well, for Liz's group that I'm helping with for Mystery Book, we are doing Everyone Here Is Lying by Sherry LaPena, Joni's recommendation.
Ooh, and boy.
Yes, we are meeting on Sunday, April 28th at 5 Eastern.
And I just want to say, Dolores, anytime you want to come back or to any of our other meetings, you're always welcome.
On the show, I do want to come back, but I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
I'm not really great with Zoom. I had a whole lot of, I had somebody help me. So do you put the Zoom link on every time?
How do I do it? Sure. If you prefer, a lot of people just call in on a regular phone.
You know, Michelle, I tried to do that, but I didn't know what I needed to use for, you know, where it said in your area. I didn't know what to do.
Do you have something to take down information with now?
Yeah, hold on. Can you hold on?
Let me just get
a Braille writer, okay?
Sure, take your time.
Also, are you on email? Because Alan sends out emails with announcements about the books, and I do those have the phone numbers in there, Alan?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the code that you type in. So, if you want to be added to Michelle, his email list, that would work.
Michelle, I can also send you the number. You just need to call in for Zoom to get into that, and then you can just do the meeting ID. So I can send you that, and you can forward it to Dolores.
Right here, actually, I can give it to you. So. The telephone number that I use, and it's different for everybody, is 1-646. I don't know how fast or slow you go.
No, go ahead.
Okay. 876.
876.
9923. And then the ID is...
Okay, that's what I want.
613.
Michelle, when you have the ID, do you have to put one before it?
No, just for the phone number.
Okay, so this is 693?
No, 613.
I'm sorry. 613.
313. 988. So each group, like if you go to Alan's group or Randy's group, everybody has their own 9-digit ID number. And then what'll happen is first you'll dial the telephone number, then you'll dial the ID, and then it'll ask you for the passcode or press pound. And we don't use a passcode, so you'll just press pound. And that should take you into the room.
Bye now, bye.
No, I've been wanting to join your group for a long time. And I thought finally I have to do something for myself, and I need to do something where I'm involved with visually impaired people that understand where I'm coming from, maybe.
Sure.
Yeah.
You got that?
Yeah. Yes. We're all visually impaired.
Yep.
Once you get the phone number, the phone numbers work for all the groups, and the meeting IDs are consistent. I mean, they're different for all the groups, but they never change. So
if you want to go to a different group, you know, we can bring the telephone numbers, you know, each time. Like, I have a lot of the telephone numbers. If you're interested in going to Novel Ideas or World of Books or Banquet of Books, I have all those numbers. I can
I just want to stay with you for a while. So I feel, you know.
Okay, that's fine.
That's fine. I think it's great. Yes. Thank you so much. Sure.
Well, you made great comments. And so should we call you Sister Dolores? Is that what you prefer to be called?
I think you could call me Dolores. How does Dolores. That sound?
Okay.
call me Dolores. That way, you know what it sort of sounds, I don't know, a little bit easier.
Okay.
Whatever the word is. I don't know.
That's fine. But it's actually very easy on the phone. I find it much easier than doing it on the computer. You just dialing.
Do you put it on speaker or do you put it on, you're holding the phone?
Like I just hold the phone.
Huh? I think everybody does it differently, right? Mm-hmm. How do you all participate? Like, can we share some of the ways that we participate to come into the room or?
I don't think it matters.
I just use the phone. Okay. I don't put it on speaker. It's just like a normal phone call.
Yeah. Oh, you just do it normally.
Yeah.
Like a phone call. Yeah. Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Put it on speaker. You
if
can.
If I can do it, anybody can do it.
You me too. I use computers all day and I hate them.
Yeah.
It's so okay. Basically, it's set up very nicely. You're just dialing the Zoom telephone number and then the ID and then pound. So that's really how to do it. I mean, I do it on. What happens is Alan sends out the news wires. They have a link in it, and I double tap the link, and then that takes me into the Zoom room. But it doesn't always work. So sometimes that's why I have the numbers for all the different groups.
This is really good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay. So that's great.
So our book next time is Look.
Loot. LOOT.
Oh, LOOT. Loot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Recording.
Okay.
Do you need the DB number or you have
no,
it?
No, I can get it. I can get it.
Okay.
So when is our next meeting? Michelle, when's the next meeting?
I think it's May 3rd. I have the number right here if you want
to. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is May 3rd.
Yeah, okay, why don't you give the number again? Just because.
I will. It's 115-153.
115-153. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you. Well, anyway, this was so, I was very nervous about this. It went so nicely.
It
so
really
great.
Did.
It yeah. did. It was great.
It was great. Thank you, Michelle.
And I can't wait for yes,
thank you.
Book.
And you were all so friendly and nice. Thank you so much.
Yeah, she was she was wonderful. I could not have asked for a better author to come and visit us.
Right.
Yeah. Please come back, Dolores. We're all
I'm done.
Oh, absolutely. Come back, Dolores.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah.
Wait, do you have any synopsis for Loot?
No, but I don't need it. It's a simple.
I would listen to it like on the Victor stream or something because it's really. It's sometimes they're like two lines, and this one is like 20 lines. So I think it's a historical story, but I think it has an adventure element in it. Maybe a mystery. I'm not sure. Something like that. So I would just listen to the synopsis. Like I just go on the Victor stream and download the book and listen to the synopsis.
Me
and then
too.
I get,
that's what I do too.
Yeah. What
Did
the book
anybody
is about.
Read Women?
I've heard it was really good.
It was really good on DB Review.
The one, Kristen Hannah book.
It's absolutely.
Which one? Which
Women?
The Women.
It's
Women
even better
Hannah.
Than The Nightingale.
Oh, man. Oh, wow.
Oh, that's hard to imagine. Wow.
It really, you could sit and cry. You could just cry.
Mm.
But it's.
Good. I don't think I'm going to read it because I've from all that I've seen, it's pretty dark. And
it is. Yeah, I guess so.
I'm not going to read it right now.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
It is
now.
Put up recently.
Oh, I don't know. Is it on Bard? I read.
Put up recently.
Yeah, it's on Bard now.
Well, Michelle, I just wanted to close by thanking you so much for thinking of me and sending the podcast along because I don't know where to look for that stuff. So I really appreciate you doing that and listening to my discussion. Yeah.
I I said to myself, I'm sure there's something, this is such a popular author. I said, I'm sure there's something out there. And I said, I'll just send it to you. And if you want to listen to it, you'll listen to it, whatever.
Oh, so I will. Yeah, thank you. I also like the NPR Book of the Day. Those are pretty good, too.
Those are good, too. Yeah.
Okay, well, yes. You know what? I have a question about that. Book of the Day?
Yes, Joan. I'm sorry, Joan.
Every time I ask for Book of the Day, I get it in some foreign language. Is there anything?
No, you got to go to the website. You got to go. If you do it on your, I don't know what you have, but
I do it on my smart speaker thing.
Oh, I don't do that. I do it. I subscribe on my phone. I go to the podcast app and I put NPR Book of the Day and it comes right up.
Yeah, you might use the word NPR, Marcia, like.
Oh, cool! Thank you.
Book of the Day from NPR or something like that.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. I'll give it a
shot. Yeah, Marcia, they interview an author. It's really interesting. Yeah, Joni wanted to ask a question. I'll be quiet.
Yeah,
now. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Joni. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead, hon.
I just want to say that the book that Tracy recommended by Wally Lamb, To thine own self be true.
I know this much is true.
It's a good book. Like
it's very good. It's really long. It's about 900 pages long, if I remember. But it never bogs down at all. It just you're going. Yeah, it keeps you going through the whole book. It is one of my favorite books.
Yeah, mine too. I really. I love
it's
that
what,
book.
I know this to be true. That's what it's called.
I know this much is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it sounds familiar to me. I'm going to have to go look it up because I think I did read it a while back.
It's old. About a guy who had a brother who was mentally ill.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It was. And his first book, She's Come Undone, was very, very long. So worth it.
It was good. That book. I read both of those, really? Joni.
Yeah, I did too.
Good. Yeah, I did too. So thank you. Again, thank you, Michelle, for having Tracy on.
No, she did all the heavy lifting. She was great. She really was.
She was.
But thank you,
she's
everybody.
Somebody you could sit down and have a cup of tea and coffee with and just talk for hours.
Yep.
Yeah. But thank you, everybody, for coming, for asking her questions and making comments. It was great.
Is Liz still here?
No.
No, she left.
I wanted to know, does anybody know? I didn't want to say anything. How is she doing? Does anybody know? She sounded pretty good.
I haven't talked to her in a couple of weeks. I just called her tonight and got her voicemail and left a message.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to her earlier in the week and she was doing better.
She sounded good tonight.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm hoping she comes back to Mystery. I'm really hoping she comes back to our group. I miss her there. And I know I'm leading it for her, but I really hope she comes back because I just, you know, when it's somebody else's group, you want the real owner there, you know, or the real person who does it.
Well, you're doing a good job, Shelly.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you.
I
don't mind helping out.
Shelly, I'm so sorry I missed last, you know, that Sunday.
Oh, Marcia, you got to come this month. We're going to do Sherry LaPena.
Right. Yeah. And I got to download. What is it called? What is it called? Everybody Lies?
Everyone here is lying.
Okay.
I don't have the number on me, but everyone here is lying.
Talk about family drama.
I'm ready to go.
Okay, well, I will. Yeah, well, I'm gonna do that right now, and I've got to get the. I think I've got the next book for.
Catch you next time. Thanks. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks a lot. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Night.
All right. Shutting it down, folks. Everybody, goodbye.
Bye, Alan.